And I always say there are three must-have systems that every single business must have. And they are an operational system, a marketing system, and a financial system. And these three systems together kind of ensure that you have a solid operation, something that is repeatable, something that is scalable.
You're listening to The Solopreneur Hustle, a podcast that teaches you how to build a successful solo business while maintaining a balanced and fulfilling life. I'm your host, Nia Lewis, a business coach based in Charleston, South Carolina. The Solopreneur Hustle has a members-only Patreon community where you can connect with solopreneurs like yourself, chat with me about all things business, and get access to exclusive bonus episodes every single week. Visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our exclusive community for as little as $5 a month. You can also text business to 31996 to receive our monthly solopreneur newsletter that's jam-packed with business tips. All right, let's jump into this week's episode. If you're listening to this episode, I'm hoping that you already listened to episode 39, where we discuss the bus test and how important it is to build a business that is viable and scalable. Passing the bus test essentially means that if you got hit by a bus today and you weren't able to run your business could go on without you. In episode 39, we discussed three problems entrepreneurs essentially face when their businesses can't pass the bus test. It's likely your business isn't scalable, your business couldn't sustain itself without you, and you don't have a viable exit strategy or long-term plan for growth if your business can't pass the bus test. We also talked about different strategies you could use to get your business to a place where it does eventually pass the bus test. And today we're going to continue that conversation with our solopreneur guest of the week, Sherry Ann Woolley. Sherry Ann specializes in helping entrepreneurs scale their businesses by developing systems that automate business functions. After 25 years in the corporate arena, Sherry Ann started her company, Mona Cleaning, with a passion to make it run just like the corporate environment she left behind, predictably, automatically, and profitably. Sherry Ann's cleaning company started out as a business of one, and now Mona Cleaning is a consistent, multi-six-figure business that runs itself and gives her what all entrepreneurs crave: freedom. Her company services over 200 locations per week and boasts a 93% rating on Homestars and a 4.7 out of 5 star rating on Google, which I think is just absolutely amazing and so impressive. As you all can see, Sherry Ann knows a thing or two about how to scale a business. So if you're working long hours in your business because you just can't, your business can't function without you, today Sherry Ann is going to share some insight that may help you put systems into place that give you more freedom and help you eventually scale your business so that it can pass the bus test. I'm hoping you all enjoy this insightful conversation. All right. Well, thank you for joining us here in our solopreneur guest here today, Sherry. Welcome to the Solopreneur Hustle podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Yes. So just to start us off here, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to the world of entrepreneurship.
That's a great question. It's a bit of a lengthy answer, but here goes. So I have a background in corporate for over 25 years. I've done call center management, call center operations. I've set up call centers. I've moved call centers. So I have a lot of experience in running a business, if you will. So there's a little bit of accounting, there's a little bit of training, there's people management, there's service level management. So there's quite a few hats that you wear when you work in a call center. And when I was laid off for the second time from my corporate job, I decided that I wasn't going to let that happen to me anymore. And I fired my cleaning lady, who then convinced me to start working with her. So once I got to understand what it is that she did, how she did it, I was exhausted. So I looked to make efficiencies. I come from a background of efficiencies and call centers. That's what it's all about. So in learning how to build efficiencies for this service and make it a lot more hands off, because my intention was not to be doing the job, it was to be running the job, just like I was running the call centers. And so when I started to make it into process and procedure, I realized that it was something that could be viable and actually scale. So I started doing it on my own, and you know, a couple years in, I was able to hire other people, and lots of systems and processes and procedures in place, so that when people are hired on, they know what to do, and that I don't have to stop, you know, spinning the world just to train someone or just to hire someone. So that's kind of what I do. And then it kind of spawned into people wanting to know how it was that I could leave my business and vacation and be away and be off for 7 months with my back out and, you know, things like that. So I realized that that in itself was a skill set, and I just know it from corporate. So I just thought that's the way it's done. Right. So that's kind of how I landed here. I started a cleaning service. I recently purchased a seniors business with my sister, and I run this coaching business.
Okay, great. You know, I wanted to talk to you today because I saw through your bio and on your profile how you scaled your business, putting these efficiencies into place. And I think it's so important for early stage entrepreneurs to see really the light at the end of the tunnel, where you don't have to be in your business day in and day out, managing every aspect of it for the business to still run. So could you tell us a little bit about some of those efficiencies you put into place so your business could run in your absence while your life still went on, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, the most important thing to know is that I absolutely did not want to be the person cleaning homes. But I know that even from my call center background, when you are able to do the frontline work, it makes for a better manager. It makes for a better understanding of the tools that your staff needs in order to do a good job over and over and over again. So one of the things that I really pushed to emulate from that environment were the processes and the systems and the procedures and the rigidness that was in place. And, you know, it takes time in the beginning. It takes time to build this stuff, especially if you've been operating in business already, you know, for as little as 6 months, a year. It's still a lot of work to build these systems and processes in place. And I always say there are three must-have systems that every single business must have. And they are an operational system, a marketing system, and a financial system. And these three systems together kind of ensure that you have a solid operation, something that is repeatable, something that is scalable over time, right? So right. The operational system gives you a bird's eye view to ensure that all the parts in your business work together, that the marketing complements the person answering the phone and the person answering the phone complements the marketing, et cetera, et cetera. You know, marketing gives you a proven and repeatable, a marketing system rather, gives you a proven and repeatable way for you to keep your funnel full, right? And keeping it full with ideal leads so that you always have someone to sell to. You always have someone to upsell, someone to follow up with. Very, very, very important and often overlooked. And what I see happen to many entrepreneurs is they figure out how to get a couple leads and then they stop that effort to do something else in their business. Whereas if you have it automated and systematized and it's part of your daily to-do, you don't have that problem. Your funnel will always be full with ideal leads. And then the financial system is all about pricing. Are you priced to make a profit? Every single job that we perform in my cleaning service and my seniors business is profitable. And that means it pays for everything and is profitable. So the overhead, the cost of transportation to get to these locations, any equipment that we use at these locations, it's all included in that price. And often, so very often, entrepreneurs don't consider that, especially when they're hiring a business where they're eventually going to hire people. That money needs to be thought out in the beginning. And then, you know, the management of your funds going in and out, knowing when and how that happens and making sure that it is smooth so that you can create cash flow.
Absolutely. Now, I loved what you mentioned sort of at the beginning of this overview of the systems that need to be put into place. Something you mentioned here was that it's important to learn the operational processes before you can hire people, perhaps, and train other people. You need to learn how your business works before you start bringing other people into it. Is that kind of what you meant there? One quote that I saw, or I think it was a YouTube video I was watching months and months ago, was that a lot of entrepreneurs want to be a CEO before they learn how to be a salesperson. And I think that kind of relates to what you said, if I'm understanding what you said correctly. So learning how to do the work before you start creating systems for other people to do it for you. Is that kind of what you meant there?
Absolutely, 1000% what I meant there. And, you know, a very big mistake made around that is we don't understand what the role is, what the requirements and the expectations of the role really and truly are. And then we end up hiring for a personality because we see one or two line items on their resume that fits. And then we like their personality. So we hire them and they're not ideal for the job. You have to really understand what the job is. And I always say, when you start something from the ground up, like this cleaning service, I've played every single role in my cleaning service. I've played every single role in my seniors business. So I know how to lay out the expectations, the pitfalls. I know how to teach people how to be successful. And, you know, the success of my people is the success of our company in the customer's eyes. So my intention is always golden. And I know that if I can make my employees be really good at what they do, it reflects on the company overall. And that makes us all look good. So really understanding what the role is, getting that down on paper, and hiring according to the attributes and the skill sets that are required for the job, and not just because of the personality that's in front of you. Personality matters, but the skill set matters more, because the idea is to have someone who can run the role without you.
Absolutely. And this is just so good. What you said about knowing how to lay out the expectations, knowing what mistakes are to be made within that position, and maybe teaching someone how to overcome some of those potential mistakes that can be made. You don't know that stuff until you have done the role, until you have done the work, until you've been in that position. And again, done the work day in and day out for a period of time. So, learning to be the salesperson as before you become the CEO is so important here. Now, within this second system that needs to be put into place, that marketing system, is this marketing system, this funnel that continuously attracts leads, to keep your funnel full, you know, do we need to be working on this marketing funnel every day, or is this something that can be put into place that doesn't require our time and our effort, or could we hire somebody perhaps to work on this funnel? How does this work for you, and how have you found that other entrepreneurs can keep their funnel full on a day-to-day basis?
So it depends on the industry that you're in and the type of business that you're doing. But a lot of the marketing tactics that you would set up are proven and for you and your industry. And so you'll find a way to put it on autopilot to make sure that it keeps happening. So for example, in my cleaning service, that requires us to post every day to social media, to send out a newsletter once a month. We participate on the odd occasion in trade shows and networking events. We throw specials every now and again. That's all a part of our marketing system, but some of those efforts are required to be done every day, and some of those efforts are just required to be done when we know something's coming up. For example, Valentine's Day is coming, so we've started the efforts on that. In my seniors business, our effort is a lot different. We post to social every day, but we don't get out as often as we do in like our cleaning service. So in the seniors business, we do a lot of presentations, and this is the idea of one on many. So we get into little huddles of seniors and their families, 50 to 100 people at a time, and we're educating them on, you know, fall safety, how to stay safe at home, how to prevent fires in your home, how to deal with the onset of dementia. So that is our marketing tool there. So that only happens about three times a month, but we sit before a bigger number of people. So also something to consider when you're setting up your marketing system is how can you do a one-on-many approach when you're putting yourself or your service out there?
Gotcha. What I'm hearing you say here is that you have to pick something and do it consistently. Number one, I mean, you're saying that, okay, we post on social media every day. We get out into the community at least three times a month for that senior business. It sounds like the marketing tactics you do use, they're tried and true, but you're also implementing them on a consistent basis. It's not a sit it and forget it type of thing.
Consistency is king. Consistency in everything that you do, whether it is on social, especially on social, whether it is, getting out to network, whether it's phone calls, emails, whatever it is, consistency always wins. I love to tell people small things done consistently lead to big results. So it's something that, you know, even when I do my goal planning workshops, we emphasize consistency, because if you're consistently putting in effort towards your goal, you'll get there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Consistency is so important. I mean, even if you have a really great idea for a marketing tactic that is tried and true and proven to work, it may be great, but if you're not doing it consistently, it just won't work. From my experience,
yes.
So you're right. Consistency is king for sure. And then what I'm also hearing you say within this marketing system is that it's not just one single marketing tactic that's going to take your business from zero to hero. You know, I think a lot of early stage entrepreneurs that I talk to, from my experience, they assume that if they can just figure this one marketing tactic out, you know, their business will, you know, shoot to the stars and yield all the results they imagine. But it really takes a system, multiple marketing tactics, I'm hearing you say, that keep that funnel full.
Yeah. And, you know, it can be, you know, not to be mistaken with only do one thing, but start with one thing. It's so much easier to hone in that laser focus that you need and put in the right effort and get the results, you know, 90 days to, you know, 6 months is usually what they say in terms of your marketing effort. So if you can stay consistent at one thing and then layer on another thing when you start to see results. Because if you try to split your effort, you're never going to learn about the vehicles that you're using enough to make an impact. So, you know, you start with, let's say, Instagram, and you do that for 3 to 6 months. And when you've got your groove and you're seeing results, then you can move to networking, let's say. And when you've made your way and you're getting results, then you can move to the next thing. And it's just like building the systems in your business. You start being being the doer. And then over time, it becomes so automated. It takes less time. You can document it and you can teach someone else how to do it. And those are the really, you know, key things to keep in mind.
I can definitely see how putting all of your eggs into different baskets, you know, focusing on 10 different tactics at once can become overwhelming for the entrepreneur who's wearing every hat for their business just starting out, before they have the resources to be able to hire out, before they have learned the different operations within their business for it to make sense to hire out. So I agree with you 100% that it's very important to focus on one thing and be consistent at that before you start trying to do 10 things at once. And I also like what you said about focusing on it for 90 days. I think there's research that suggests that, and actually I think the statistic I saw recently was 30 days, but I'm sure 90 days is even more effective. Committing to being consistent at one thing for 90 days, I'm sure, will put a lot of entrepreneurs farther than many who do it for 2 weeks and quit.
Yeah, you know, I have a free kind of coaching, a free-for-all coaching call that I do on Mondays. And one of the things that I decided to do with them this year was actually walk them through a 90-day plan and hold them accountable. You know, there's only two reasons why people usually fail. Well, there's probably three, but the two I'm going to mention is, one, they don't have a clear and concise plan written out, so they don't know what to do. And the same confusion that you had day one when you tried to build the plan is the same confusion you have day in, day out when you think about moving yourself forward. And then number two is you don't have an accountability coach or someone who is going to hold you accountable to the things you say. So we map out our goals together as a group over the next 90 days, very clear and concise. We share them and we hold each other accountable. So on that call, I document what people say from week to week. And then the following week, I hold them accountable to what they say. And I'll tell you that one particular girl in our group is getting huge results just by consistently showing up on a platform and doing exactly what I've been telling her to do. And she's yielding results. So nothing that she wasn't doing before, she just wasn't doing it consistently. So consistency is definitely king. And if consistency is king, then content is queen, and you need both to rule a kingdom. So I'd love to talk about content.
So what types of content do you typically share on social media, or what types of content are you using within your marketing system here?
So many people struggle with creating content, and it is really so simple. I suffered myself for 3 years with this. You know, I am very old school. I'm probably even old, but I'm old school. So the way that people generate content and information and play online is all very new to me and very foreign to me. So I've been trying to master it, but I quickly learned that, you know, offline is just as effective as online. And people really kind of threw out the old way of selling, door-to-door, cold calling, whatever you want to call it, but there's a way to marry it with a little bit of new age online to make it work. So that's one thing I want to say about that. But you know, people, their content, it's you have to be able to speak in the language that your audience speaks in. Nobody cares about your ISO 2.3, your CLP system, your DNA breakdown. Nobody cares about that stuff. They care about the stuff that they are looking for. So I want someone to make my website faster. I want more sales. I need someone to look after my mom. It's a burden to me. You know, my in my seniors business, we would have never thought to use the word burden when we're talking about taking care of seniors, but that's the way our audience describes it. In cleaning, they don't say, oh, I want Mona cleaning, or I need you know, the cleaning company on the corner, they say, I want eco-friendly cleaning. I want the best cleaning service. I want bi-weekly cleaning. You have to know the language and the terms that your audience uses so that you can use it back on them. If they can identify the language, they can simulate or emulate themselves into the problem that you're describing, which leads to the next thing is you're speaking to one person only, and you're speaking about the problem that exists in their life that your product or service can fix. This goes into all the copy you use, all the website, your marketing, when you're having networking conversations, your sales scripts. You have to speak in the language of the person that is using your services. So what key terms are they Googling? When they need your service, what are they punching into their computer and looking for on Google? That's the key. You need to use that in your language, and you need to be able to speak in a language that satisfies their problem.
Wow, so rich, so powerful here. So I think many times when we're in our business and we're so focused on the day-to-day, we're thinking about what's important to us in terms of what we want our audience to know about, all of the things we're excited about our businesses. But if we take a step back, put ourselves in our audience's perspective, think about the problems our target audience is facing, the problems our potential customers that the people we want to reach, when we think about the problems we're facing and use language within our content that represents that, I'd imagine that our messages, the marketing materials we're sending out, whether it be through social media or even through conversations we have with people in person, those messages become so much more effective and influential and impactful in terms of how our audience is perceiving what we have to say through any mode of communication. So this is totally strategic communication stuff. I mean, thinking about what your audience is going to search online. Again, your cleaning business is Mona Cleaning, but chances are your new customer is not going to search that. Like you said, they're probably going to search on Google, I need a bi-weekly cleaning service. You know, they're going to search that as opposed to your business name. So I'm thinking in terms of like website copy, what keywords need to be on your website so that your website comes up higher in the search rankings because you have those keywords that matter to what your target audience is looking for, what their problems are day to day. Again, love what you said about the burden. You know, we don't like to think about caring for our loved ones as a burden, but perhaps that may be a keyword that someone that needs your help may be including in a Facebook post or in something they're searching online. And if you include that language, even though it may not be apparent or not apparent, but even though it may not be something that you typically would like to use in your marketing material, that's what someone might be searching for. And that's what matters, not what we think is so important about our business.
Exactly. And that's what's so key. And that's where so many people fall short, because they're not using the right language. And sometimes we try to be very professional and very cautious about the words we use. But meanwhile, you know, someone else uses the term burden, and it may not have the detrimental definition that you give it. But in my life, I know that I can't go to work every day and I can't have a social life. And while I don't mind taking care of mom or grandma, I don't have the same level of freedom. So it is a burden. So, you know, really getting to understand how your people speak about the service that you provide or the product that you provide is so key.
Now, if we want to begin to implement these strategies, these if we want to start putting these systems into place, where should we start in trying to organize our small businesses? I know a lot of listeners here are solopreneurs. They are the ones operating their business day to day. How can we start moving towards scaling our business on a small scale, in the beginning, if we decide we want our business to pass the bus test eventually.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned solopreneurs, because solopreneurs are often the number one group that I speak to that doesn't have anything in place because they figure it's just them. But then they do something that really catapults their growth and has several people coming to do business with them, or has, you know, they speak at an event that has 100 people and 50 people want to reach out to them, and they don't have a way to handle these people because they've been doing it on their own and handling one or two or three or four or five at a time. And it's a very different place when you're herding cattle, I like to say, because now you have to treat all 50 people the same way. So I always say, make sure that the things you do on a day-to-day are kind of written out step by step. So step one, I do this. Step two, I do this. And it doesn't have to be very detailed, but it is a start. And then the next thing I like to say is, whatever you think you may hire someone for, start to do that role and document it as you're doing. Step one, step two, step three, step four. And look at it, reread it, and see if when you read it, you could actually do the job just based on the steps that you've written out. Yes, it's going to require some fleshing out, and you're going to have to expand on each of those, but it is a very good starting point. And the more you go over those points is the more kind of meat you will add to these steps. Then you try to do it from those steps on your own, and then you can hire someone and have someone do it based on what's documented. And as they have issues with the steps, or they miss things, or mistakes are made, you can then analyze, is it the system, the steps I've laid out, or is it the person? And you just kind of keep building and expanding that way.
Right. I think what you said about outlining really those steps, that also helps you see where some of your weaknesses are in your daily processes. Many times we're so focused on what we do and just getting it done that we don't see how we can do it more effectively and efficiently. So when we start listing out those steps, and, you know, eventually we may need some help with this process, and we have someone start doing it, and we see problems with these steps, we can find ways to overcome those weaknesses and become more efficient at what we're doing.
Very, very, very key and very true. And, you know, another mistake is, you know, if you don't have this all documented, it's only in your head, then it's very hard to hire people and hard to hire the right people. And it's very hard to stay competitive in the market when your business is either stagnant or not moving forward at all. And when you have systems and processes documented, you have a point to pivot from, to expand from, to grow from. And this should be part of everybody's exit plan. If you ever plan to sell your business, regionalize your business, franchise your business, have other people join you in whatever capacity, whether it's partner, employee, or contractor, you need to have these systems in place that can exclude you. Because when you look at a business valuation, that's one of the major things they look at. Can this business run without you, the owner, the person who's created it?
Wow. I think many entrepreneurs don't start with the exit plan in mind. I think we usually envision us being on the ground doing the work every single day, but perhaps that exit plan is something that's important. That's something we should think about, because in the long term, I mean, even just thinking about reaching retirement age eventually, you know, do you want your business to still be able to run when you don't want to work anymore? You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't? Right. And, you know, when you start to document things early on in the process, early on in your business, it is so much easier to let go. Because the other thing that's major for people is their wanting to be in control. I call it a little bit of ego. But when you think about going to work for a massive company like AT&T or Wells Fargo, they're not, the owner is not there watching your every move, and you get templates and processes and procedures in order to do your job. Then there's a whole other process and procedure for rating your performance. You know, you have to have those things in place to be able to let go, because that's what's going to hold people accountable to their roles. So then it's all you have to do is manage all of that.
Right. Now, what are some of the mistakes you find entrepreneurs making in their quest to like scaling their business? What are some problems you see entrepreneurs facing in this process of, you know, trying to build systems so their business can run without them?
I think that just the lack of systems, number one, is probably the most common thing. And that then leads to, it's a domino effect, right? That then leads to leaving people in charge who don't know what to do. If something goes wrong there, they stand still, they stop because they don't know how to correct. And, you know, even when you build systems, there has to be a system for how to correct issues, what to do if there's an escalation, what to do if a customer is irate, what to do if your product doesn't do what it says it was supposed to do. So having clear and concise how-tos and processes and systems so that things continue to run with or without you, and then taking the baby steps to test these things. So if I'm a solopreneur and I'm a consultant, I'm going to build out all the things that I have to do. And if I'm going to hire someone on to, let's say, do my social media, I'm going to already have that documented out step by step by step, something that I might have tested. And when I hire someone on, I'm going to monitor them to success. I'm not trying to find what they're doing wrong. I'm trying to figure out how to make them successful. And that little mind shift is massive when you go from solopreneur to someone who is now hiring people, whether it's a contractor or an employee, is being able to let go and trust.
Wow. It's so hard to let go when your business is your baby, but a part of growing and becoming, you know, a business that can, or growing your business to a place where it can go on without you, is having trust, enough trust to let go and trust the people that you hired to do the work. In my mind, Probably the most important part of trust is knowing that you've put the system into place, you have the steps mapped out, you've hired someone that can do the work, that, you know, based on their resume and their experience, you've put a lot of background research into getting to the point of hiring someone to do the work. So trusting that you made the right decision is the most important part here. And in order to get to that place, you have to have the steps put into place. You have to know the process, and you have to understand that and trust that you've hired someone that can do it well because you also know how to do it.
Yeah. And if you can remove yourself from the people aspect of it, because if it is a people problem, that will come out. But hopefully you had enough to hire for the will and the skill in somebody to do the job. But, you know, when you can remove yourself from putting blame on humans and really looking at whether your instruction and your processes are clear, it makes such a big difference in your ability to let go, in your ability to build systems that actually allow people to be successful for you and get the results that are required from that role in order to make the company succeed. So when people are enrolled and they know what is expected of them, how to do it, what the tools are available to them, and how to be successful at their role, then they will be all of that. But if you don't have all of that laid out, people kind of just hum and haw and will figure out a way to keep them busy. People want to know how they're doing. They want to be measured.
Wow. You know, when you say that, what comes to mind for me, you know, taking the blame off of humans and putting your focus on how we can make the system better. I think about Chick-fil-A, you know, Chick-fil-A's systems, even just when you go through the drive-thru, I don't know if there's a Chick-fil-A in your area. Are you familiar with Chick-fil-A?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So, so Chick-fil-A systems are just amazing. And just even when you're in their drive-through line and you go through the line and the processes they have in place, you know that they have put so much time and energy into making sure that system is running smooth, as opposed to trying to blame employees when things are going wrong. And I can just, like, I have no idea what's going on the corporate side at Chick-fil-A, but I can assume that they are focusing on the systems and not the mistakes that humans are making and blaming them for those. Their systems are just awesome, and their processes really speak to the detail that they have really focused on for their systems, from the drive-through to how you order on the app. I mean, everything is just seamless.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad you raised that, because a lot of the big conglomerates out there, the Starbucks, the Tim Hortons, the McDonald's, they operate on systems out the wazoo. Like, they are built on systems. You go into any Walmart, any McDonald's, any Starbucks, you're oftentimes treated the same within, I would say, 10%, if you can measure that. You know, you're treated the exact same way. The processes are the same. Even down to the store layout is very the same in many of those conglomerates, right? So there's a thing about systems that allow you to scale. When your foundation is solid and this how-to is in place, all you have to do now is do more of it.
Right. Now, how can we focus on building that solid foundation so that what we want for our business trickles down from the top, where hopefully we are eventually serving as the CEO of our empire of systems and employees and services and everything that our business encompasses? How can we build that solid foundation so that what we want trickles down amongst our entire company, from secretaries to people who clean? I mean, everybody that has something to do with our business. How can our values come alive in what we want for everybody that works for us and represents our business?
So everybody that represents your business should, especially if they're an employee or a close contractor, should read the handbook if you have one. At the very least, understand what the company's mission, visions, and values are. When you're hiring people who believe in those mission, vision, and value, or people who are on board with helping you build that for your company. But, you know, a major part is helping people understand how they fit into the big picture, how their role contributes to the end goal, keeping people in the know of these, of the goals and where you stand to the goals, so that they can help contribute to get you there. You know, and a lot of employees want to know what's in it for them. And that comes by way of recognition. It's not necessarily compensation, but definitely recognition for a job well done. You can have many contests and friendly team rivalry competitions in-house, but really making sure that people understand what the role is, what is expected of them, and how they're contributing to the end game and where they stand against that. If you're in a position where someone is working for you, then certainly their performance can be measured, and letting them know how they are doing and where they stand against getting to goals. People want to know how they're doing. If they work blindly, they're not going to work at all.
Right. It's so important for us as leaders within our organization to figure out how to help our employees see the bigger picture, to help them see how their puzzle piece fits into the overall puzzle for, you know, the greater good of the business. So helping your people that work for you see the bigger picture, helping them realize that although they just have one job, this one job is what ultimately helps keep the business going, helping them see the importance of that is so important there.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised at how much people will contribute once they know what their piece of the puzzle is and how it contributes to the greater picture. You'd be surprised at what people will come up with and how people will contribute.
Wow. Yeah, that's so insightful. Now, last question here. What has been the single most important lesson you've learned in your experience building and scaling your businesses so far?
It's kind of focus and measure. If you're measuring all of the transactions that take place in your business, and just start with measuring it, you don't have to know what you're looking at yet. If you just start to take note of the transactions that happen in your business, the things people say to you and about your business, then it goes a long way in putting your focus in the right places and helping you improve. Doesn't matter how big you are, there's always room for improvement. And I think that that's probably the biggest lesson for me is tracking and measuring things. When you do that, things start to grow. You can actually change things and you will question yourself as to why some of the results are the way they are. And it's the best way for you to kind of see your business for what it is and make the changes that are required. If you're not tracking, that means you can't see it. And if you can't see it, it means you don't know where you're going.
Wow. I mean, not knowing your numbers, just shooting from the hip and doing things and hoping it'll work out, doesn't work. It hasn't worked for me, and I'm sure it doesn't work for anybody. We have to track and measure and know our numbers so that we know what to change. You know, we may think that our entire marketing system isn't working because we're not tracking what we're doing. Our finances may seem like they're a mess when in actuality, there's really just one thing we need to tweak so that things can fall into place the way we need them to. So I think this whole piece about focus, measuring, and tracking is integral, especially in building and scaling a business.
Big time. Big time. Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry. You've brought so many really insightful tips here to share with us today. I know that for many entrepreneurs, scaling feels scary. Letting go is something it's just really difficult, but you've brought some light to this whole conversation of scaling. And I think this is a conversation a lot of solopreneurs needed to hear. And the advice you've given us about how we can start small in preparing to scale eventually, not expecting scaling to be something that happens overnight, giving ourselves time to learn the systems to eventually put processes into place, help scaling become something that feels more possible for many of us, especially solopreneurs. So thank you for having this conversation with me today. I'm very grateful for your time. And if you could just tell our listeners here where they can find you after this podcast airs, that would be excellent.
Thank you so much for having me, Nia. Really enjoyed our conversation today. So your listeners can find me in a couple of places. I think LinkedIn is probably my favorite place to be found. I'm at Sherry Ann Woolley. That's SHERI-ANNEWOOLLEY. And that's on LinkedIn. That's probably the place I'm at mostly on social. On Instagram, I'm at Mentor with Sherry. And if you want to learn more about my business, you can email me directly at Sherry, S-H-E-R-I, at monacleaning.com, M-O-N-A, cleaning.com. I'm always open to discussing business. It's my wheelhouse. I love it. And you can check me out on my website at nobsbreakthrough.com.
Hey y'all, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Stay connected in between episodes by texting business to 31996. You'll receive our business tip of the week, and you'll also get our monthly solopreneur newsletter. We also have a private membership group that you can join to access group chats and bonus episodes every week. visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our community. I hope you have a great week, and thank you for supporting the Solopreneur Hustle podcast.